7 from the Voice of America on Monday, May 19th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gandhi.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwean women unite against gender-based violence following the death of a women's university in Africa student Isabel Masuka after being assaulted by her husband.
Honorable Obama Chinguri, who's the Minister of Gender, was part of the event and she was denouncing gender-based violence and in particular violence against women, saying that it should come to an end.
South Africa's Constitutional Court hears arguments in a landmark Zimbabwe torture case seeking to compel Pretoria to investigate allegations of torture committed in 2007 by Zimbabwean officials, including cabinet ministers.
And the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe threatens to revoke licenses for two local commercial radio stations if they fail to comply with their terms of operation in the next 6 months.
In 33 years since its existence. The government of Zimbabwe has failed to cover the whole country in terms of broadcasting. That DC covers less than 50% of the country. Why? Because it is very expensive to put transmitters.
Zimbabwean women took to the streets today protesting against gender-based violence following the alleged killing of a women's university in Africa student, Isabel Masuka, by her husband who then took his own life. Women's groups teamed up today to raise awareness together with Isabel's colleagues from the Women's University in Africa and Women Filmmakers of Zimbabwe. The protest was staged in Harare. Director Grace Chirenje of the Zimbabwe Young Women's Network for Peace, whose organization also participated at the march, says she was impressed by the numbers of women who came out to call for an end to gender-based violence. Women's Affairs Minister Opam Chinguri led the calls for action against gender-based violence in her address to the women. Chirenje tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganya Wuye the rallying call today by the women was for the government to enact stringent laws to protect girls and women from gender-based violence and related issues.
We had a march against gender-based violence where we marched from the South African embassy right through to the Women's University in Africa. But this event was organized by the Women Filmmakers of Zimbabwe and Women's University in Africa to just commemorate the death of Isabel, who passed away on the 19th of April because she was beaten up by her husband, who later himself committed suicide.
Were there any government officials that addressed you? And what were the major highlights of the address?
Honorable Opamu Chinguri, who's the Minister of Gender, was part of the event, and she was denouncing gender-based violence, and in particular violence against women, saying that it should come to an end. And this is what she was saying. They are fighting for his government to make sure that there is an eradication of violence against women.
And also, how widespread would you say this problem of gender-based violence is in the country at the moment, looking at various studies that have been done?
There are reports to say that this is a widespread problem. Today, the media was awash with reports saying that about 5,000 women are raped, and we calculated this to say 13 girls are raped per day. And this is a huge figure, because what then this means is that 18 girls a day are being raped, and that's a huge problem if you look at it in terms of statistics.
And are there any programs that are being offered, perhaps by organizations like yourself and the government, to sensitize people on gender-based violence?
I think this march organized by Women Filmmakers of Zimbabwe and Women University in Africa is one of the initiatives. We also have organizations like Zimbabwe Young Women's Network for Peace Building, MUSASA. We have research is being done by Research and Advocacy Unit. All these are in the hope that will raise awareness on issues to do with violence against women. It might not be enough at the moment, but I think something is being done. I know the government also has gender officers at ward level just trying to raise awareness on different issues affecting women. And we are still to see how effective these are, because it looks like the issue is on the rise continuously.
As organizations working with women and women's issues, are you satisfied with the role that the government is playing towards eradicating gender-based violence?
I'd like to see them firstly harmonize the constitution and the laws that are existing at the moment, and also to commit some financial resources towards the effective and efficient implementation of laws that have to do with women. Right now, it looks like the government does not have enough resources to channel towards facilitating the implementation of the 50% male-female balance. And this is a problem. They're trying, but obviously it's not enough because the numbers seem to be going up every day.
That was Director Grace Chirenje of Zimbabwe Young Women Network for Peace speaking with Studio 7's Mavelas Mplanganyahuye from Harare.
Ten people died today after a commuter omnibus they were travelling in veered off the road and hit a tree along Seke Road. Police National Spokesperson Chief Superintendent Paul Nyati confirmed that seven people died on the scene in the Chinamo area, two others on admission to Chitungwiza Central Hospital, and the tenth person at Parirenyatwa Hospital. The driver, who has only been identified as Masiwa, died on the spot. Police say the accident was caused by speeding. The combi was traveling to Chitungwiza from the city center.
The Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe, BAZ, is threatening to revoke licenses for two local commercial radio stations if they fail to comply with their terms of operation in the next 6 months. The Broadcasting Authority says ZFM and Star FM should hastily install 24 transmitters each to ensure national coverage. So far, ZFM has only installed 10 transmitters, while Star FM has 9. A statement from the Broadcasting Authority said, and I quote, "Failure to comply with the requirement will result in the cancellation of the licenses in terms of Section 16 of the Broadcasting Services Act," close quote. Star FM is owned by the government-run News Zimpepa's News Group, while ZFM was founded by Deputy Information Boss Supamanduwanzira. The government says it is set to license more commercial and community radio stations. For perspective on the bus license cancellation threats, Ntungameli Nkomo reached broadcasting expert Zenzelende Bele, who says it's expensive to set up transmitters.
This is what ZBC has failed to do in 33 years since its existence. The government of Zimbabwe has failed to cover the whole country in terms of broadcasting. ZBC covers less than 50% of the country. Why? Because it is very expensive to put transmitters. We are talking, basically the cost will depend on the size of the transmitter. It can be 100 watts, 1,000 watts, or so forth. But we are talking the transmitters that are going to be covering nationwide or large distances. Then we are talking maybe between 50 and 70,000 to actually construct the transmitter. Then we are talking about maintenance costs. You need to have electricity in that area. If there's no electricity, either you have to put solar panels or run on diesel or generators. You need security to actually take care of the transmitters. So we are not talking of anything less than 10,000 in cost. So we are talking about that one or two transmitters can take you up to about 100,000 to set them. So I don't think ZFM and Star FM have been operating for less than 2 years. I don't think they have that money, and I don't think they'll have that money anytime soon.
But given that these are commercial radio stations whose orientation is to realize profits, can they not be able to raise that money?
We are talking of a country whose economy is on its knees. We are talking about the country where government keeps on postponing the pay day for civil servants. Right now, civil servants that were supposed to be paid on the 25th, they were told that they will be paid on the 29th. And they are not even sure that they are going to get paid on the 29th. You are talking about an economy where most media houses are now finding it difficult to employ staff to run newspapers. You are talking about an economy where there is no investment at all and companies are closing down. So from that, you can tell that the revenue that they are getting from advertising is quite small. It's not, if they are making profit, they are just making marginal profits.
That was a broadcasting expert Zenzele Ndebele on the line from Harare.
The Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri reached Mr. Zimbabwe Advocacy Officer Tavani Moyo for his perspective.
As Mr. Zimbabwe, we say this is very unfortunate and uncalled for, because as a country, we can't be seen to be shutting down. Firstly, media is an industry that employs people, that contributes to the GDP of the country. Secondly, it is an industry of thought process. It is an industry of exchanging knowledge and ideas. And the government should be seen to be promoting and coming up with proactive measures of assisting those who might be falling prey to the economic meltdown. So as Mr. Zimbabwe, encouraged the government to come up with rescue packages where necessary to assist the few industrial sites that are still operating at industry level, at commerce level, at media level.
Do you see the time frame that was given to these two stations as enough?
The key challenge that the government is trying to fast-track the process of setting deadlines and is trying to move away from the process of dialogue and the process of facilitating engagement, and using this opportunity to target the small space that is left within our industry and within our commerce and our media, so that they can shut down the alternative media platform. So we rather say the government should come up with those economic stimulus packages for these targeted organizations so that they remain afloat until they regularize their processes. But the key challenge, which we have always insisted, is that the government is using this restrictive and undemocratic law, the Broadcasting Services Act.
That was Mr. Zimbabwe Advocacy Officer Thabani Moyo. We reached Susan Makore, Chief Executive Officer for AB Communications, which owns ZFM, who said she will only be able to comment tomorrow.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
South Africa's Constitutional Court today heard arguments in the landmark Zimbabwe torture case, which was brought by the Southern African Litigation Center and the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum to compel Pretoria to investigate allegations of torture committed in 2007 by Zimbabwean officials, including cabinet ministers, as the allegations go, and members of the security services. The South African Supreme Court and High Court have previously ruled in favor of the Southern African Litigation Center and the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum. But South African authorities have appealed against the ruling, arguing that arresting Zimbabwean officials will strain relations with Harare. Reacting, Prosecutor General Johannes Twomana told Studio 7 that Zimbabwe is unfazed by the process, arguing that it is a sovereign state. Efforts to reach South African officials were futile. But Zimbabwe Exiles Forum Director Gabriel Shumba tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that he's confident the Constitutional Court will rule in their favor.
It's the same continuation of the case we have had over the years, from the High Court, Supreme Court of Appeal, and today to the Constitutional Court, which is the highest court in South Africa. It was mainly submissions of arguments on behalf of the South African Police Service, in which they are refusing to investigate allegations of crimes against humanity emanating from the March 2007 torture of mainly MDC activists and leaders in Zimbabwe.
What arguments did the government advance?
The arguments they advanced today, fortunately, are more of a narrow argument line than those that they presented in the courts below. For example, now they admit that the South African Police Service he has the power to investigate and is also enjoined in terms of the law to investigate. Two, they also admit that there is some kind of duty that vests upon the South African Police Service to investigate torturers in Zimbabwe, even if the torture was committed in Zimbabwe.
But where is the parallel here?
Their point of departure seems to be that the court may not order the South African Police Service to investigate where, by exercise of their own discretion, the South African police feel that sectors militate against such an investigation. For example, they have sought to argue the issue of sovereignty and relationship with Zimbabwe, etc., which are arguments that we think fall afoul of the legal obligations that the country as a whole has.
Zimbabwe Exiles Forum Director Gabriel Shimba speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Pretoria.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318.
Bulawayo is the least number of unemployed people in the country, with Harare coming a distant third, according to the final 2012 national census. The census shows that the city has 430,972 people aged 15 years and above, with 61% of them economically active, but only 27% of them are unemployed. The census report put the total figure of the national population at 13 million. It also shows that the city of Bulawayo has the highest number of unmarried but eligible people. Mashonaland Central has the highest number of married couples at 64%. The report also shows that 19% of the population are lodgers, while 59% people live in their own houses. For a perspective, we reached independent analyst Walter Nsunguli Mbongolwane, who says the figures of those unemployed is nothing new.
No, look, this is not surprising because we are aware of the fact that from the 1980s, the deindustrialization of Bulawayo has been going on. Year after year, industries have closed. I think to date, Bulawayo's industries are operating at below 10% of their original capacity. So there are no surprises as to the results of the census in terms of the unemployment level. This has continued. People in Bulawayo are not working, and by extension, people in Matabeleland are not working. So this census, one cannot say it's accurate, but it actually points to the right direction in terms of how unemployment levels are in Zimbabwe.
But if we are going to accept that the census shows us that there is high unemployment in Bulawayo, why don't we accept the total figure of people in Bulawayo that have been put forward by the Zimstats?
No, look, there's no relationship there, because what is going on is they may want us to accept that in terms of the fact that the unemployment levels are low and therefore the population levels are also supposed to be low. But there's no relationship because we know that when censuses are conducted, people are counted on the basis of their being there on the day of counting. But we know that the residents, people who consider themselves as citizens staying in Bulawayo, the majority of them are actually outside the country, even though they take Bulawayo as their home. So half of them, or more than half of the people that are supposed to be in Bulawayo, are not counted at all.
That was Walter Nsunguli Mbongolwane, an independent analyst. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa.
You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington.
We take a look at regional and international news.
The United States is charging 5 members of the Chinese military with conducting economic espionage against American nuclear, steel and solar power companies. The criminal allegations are the first ever leveled by the U.S. against a foreign power for cyber crimes targeting American businesses.
Militiamen loyal to a retired Libyan general say they have suspended parliament after launching an attack against the legislative body. Renegade forces commanded by former General Khalifa Haftar on Sunday stormed the parliament building in Tripoli, firing weapons and ransacking lawmakers' offices.
And Russian President Vladimir Putin has ordered troops staging military drills in areas near Ukraine to return to their home bases. The Kremlin made the announcement today, just days before a crucial presidential election in Ukraine.
New central bank governor John Manguja failed to appear before a parliamentary committee today, leaving some lawmakers furious as the Zimbabwe economy continues to decline. Finance and Budget Committee member Willis Mazimure says Manguja apologized to the committee, saying he's currently attending an international event. Mazimure says most committee members were upset by Manguja's apology, as the governor was given at least a month to prepare for the hearing meant to discuss issues affecting the country's economy. The economy is currently facing liquidity challenges, unprecedented deflation, and lack of foreign direct investment. Mazimure says the governor was expected to address some of these issues.
What we have done as a committee is just to give a certain super secretary that they write another letter to the governor telling him that we would then want to see him, I think, in 3 weeks' time from now.
How much time do you give everyone to prepare for your hearings?
We give them 2 weeks.
And is that a good time for someone to prepare and then attend your hearings, as far as you're concerned?
That's the procedure, but we even feel as members that it's too long, because you are expected to have information which is normally, which has to do or pertains with your department or your parastatal on your fingertips.
So in this case, what are the implications if the governor didn't appear before the committee?
We won't have the information that we wanted as a committee to establish where we are as a country, where the bank is, and whether it is it has something in place to assist the ailing economy. So it's something that we didn't expect, but anyway, that is what we got. We expected the governor to appear so that we get more information and we share information with him.
Now, what are the issues that you were going to discuss with the governor?
The monetary policy, which was issued just before he joined the bank, how he was also going to deal with the liquidity problem, which is the biggest problem that we have.
That was Parliamentary Finance and Budget Committee member Willis Mazimure speaking with Studio 7.
ZANU-PF lawmakers dismissed Mazimure's remarks, saying Mr. Manguja had other commitments today and is set to appear before the committee next month. Observers say the governor, who has only been in office for 19 days, plays a critical role in stabilizing the economy, though the central bank is not currently playing its major role of lender of last resort. Bulawayo-based businessman Bolisani Ncube believes that the RBZ is still in a position to tackle the country's economic challenges despite its own shortcomings.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says the standard of living for most families in the country continues to deteriorate, especially in Bulawayo and Matabeleland regions, where more companies halt operations and others scale down, retrenching hundreds of workers in the process. This comes at a time when the Wange Colliery Company says it will start retrenching 1,500 workers from next month out of its 3,200 workforce. The company retrenched 304 workers in 2012. Rizin Gwenya, chairman of the ZCTU Western Region, tells reporter Sitandekile Mhlanga his organization frequently mitigates and retrenchment-related disputes.
When employers retrench, they give up packages, and those packages are not fulfilled in terms of payment. Workers go back home empty-handed, and they fail to support their families. This is very, very bad. Now, we've managed to take these employers to court. Most of the times, they claim that liquidity crunch is their problem. But whatever the case, what we are saying, because our duty as ZCTU It's about the welfare of the workers. If workers cannot be protected, then we're really disappointed. Even our government, we're inviting it to come in. Because whatever they agree upon, they don't pay.
How are the families of the retrenched workers faring?
I'm sure you have been reading our papers where families, wives and husbands have been fighting, killing each other, a lot of divorces, and so on and so on. The impact on a family unit is so bad in such a way that I don't even know what will happen in 2 years if the trend goes this way.
That was Reason Gwenya, chairman of the ZCTU Western Region, on the line from Bulawayo.
The deputy leader of the Southern African Development Community's SADC Parliamentary Forum Poll Observer Mission says Malawi's Electoral Commission has assured the group it has made adequate preparations to administer the country's first tripartite elections tomorrow. The SADC Parliamentary Forum Poll Observers comprise parliamentarians from the Southern African region. Sutumbeko Msokotwane says prospective Malawian voters have peacefully conducted themselves during the campaign period before the presidential, parliamentary, and local elections. Malawians go to the polls tomorrow to choose their leaders in a poll in which a candidate would be declared winner by garnering a simple aggregate majority of the total votes cast in accordance with the country's electoral laws.
And in sports news, the deal is done. The coaches of former World Cup club champions Barcelona Football Club will be coming to Zimbabwe. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the finer details.
The Spanish Giants' coaching staff arrives in Zimbabwe on July 27 to conduct a course with the coaches of all the 16 teams that make up the Premier Soccer League, as well as selected bosses from the lower division. This has been revealed by Delta Beverages marketing manager Patricia Muraminda, who has just returned from Barcelona to sign the deal. Muraminda said the Barcelona coaching team might include their new manager, who is still to be announced following the sacking of Gerardo Martino after the 1-0 draw with Atletico Madrid over the weekend. The draw cost Barcelona the La Liga title, although the Spanish Giants will still be in the Champions League next season, alongside the likes of Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Arsenal, who have already guaranteed their places. The former European champions have signed a deal with Castle Lager, who are the official Barcelona beer in Africa, and Muraminda says one day they are dreaming of bringing the team to Africa.
If things go on very well, I see Barcelona probably visiting.
The Delta Supremo said they've also spoken to the Zimbabwe Football Association to have national team coach Ian Goroa also take part in the coaching course. Goroa is arriving later this evening with the Warriors from Tanzania, where the team lost 1-0 but are strong favorites to qualify to the next stage as they play at home in the return leg on June 1. Goroa left Zimbabwe complaining over the non-availability of Edward Sadumba and Ovid Karuru, whom he wanted for this crucial game. Sadumba and Karuru were not released by their clubs as the match does not fall under the FIFA calendar. Clubs are obliged to release players for national duty only for matches under the FIFA calendar.
There was Sadumba, we thought he could, with his experience in Africa. I think he's been one player for me, he's been overlooked. I think he's got so much experience playing in Africa, and I think we could have done well with him. We had Ovidi Karuru, which we wanted to also to have a look at. Those two for me were very critical.
Should the Warriors overcome the Taifa Stars in the two-legged tie, they will face the winner of the game between Mozambique and South Sudan for that vital place in the group stages, where Cape Verde, Niger and Zambia are waiting. The Premier Soccer League cancelled all the matches lined up for over this weekend to pave way for the Warriors' game against the Taifa Stars, but all the matches are to be played in this midweek. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael.